Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Okay! Welcome to FMLFPL Milan.
Miss Walsh.
First proper preseason, Bahad. We're fully back. No turning back, no matter how badly things go for us. We're in it now. We're in.
When is turning back ever an option?
It's been entertained, but it's not an option. Know. So this episode, we're going to be going through position by position, discussing just the premium price players at each position. Next week, we'll do the middle tier price-wise. 2 weeks from now, we'll do the cheap guys at every position. That's how we do our preseason shit. I guess just before we move on, I thought of this actually earlier today, so I'm freestyling this, but before we move on, last season's preseason, we did a for beginners only episode. If I was more prepared, I'd have like the episode number, but you could just scroll back to, you know, before last season. It was just like a half hour, absolute basics of the game. Just for new players, or if you have like friends or family who are new and want to try FPL or whatever, you want to steal their money in a money league. I mean, it's a year old, but I think everything still basically stands. So yeah, I just wanted to shout that out. Cool. All right, so let's go. I think we're starting. Talking about the main talking point from the fixtures, right? It's City and United, and they're most likely blanking game week one, and we got a lot of questions about it, so I figure we just bang this out. So, shorts for Salah. What the fuck do we do now? Do we run with no City or United? Do we use hits? Chuck Norwich with the schedule being released. Do we get three City and United assets bench them game week one? How much money are you happy to bench? You know, all the normal stuff. Early wild card. How many weeks can you go without City? All that stuff. Everyone's asking. You have gut feels?
I mean, definitely go without any of the premium assets. I think that you're asking for trouble there if you're benching someone when it'll prevent you from getting someone like Obbs, right? Mm. But, you know, I was playing around a lot with Fodinho and Greenwood and Laporte, like one, two, or probably not all three, but, you know, one or two guys that are more cheap, that are more edge of the team that you could maybe be able to hide and just throw an extra four or five defender in there than you wouldn't normally love to do, but something you could do. And I think, you know, to me, like Mo, Werner, Ziyech have been like the staples in my team. And then I'm looking at sort of those other three or four attacking spots as like, what am I doing here? And, right. You know, I think if you start with zero City or United, that's fine. But you want to think at least in your head of what's your plan. Like, are you dead ending to like two game weeks and then wild card? And then you're going to really just try and exploit those first two game weeks, which is totally fine. And I'm seeing a lot of like viable strategies that way. Or are you, you know, trying to hedge and pick players who have games and you think will get points, but you could also, you know, maybe save and then use a triple move for -4 to get in some City players for like Obbs out, like Sun out, or Obbs and Kane out, something like that, right? So I think those are the things that, I mean, anyone in the Discord, like that's what everyone's been sort of talking about. And I mean, that's sort of my initial thought about it. What do you think?
Do you have like a strong feeling? I mean, we're weeks away, but do you have a strong feeling of how you'll probably handle it, do you think? Or is it too early? Because I personally don't. Like, I've tinkered a little bit without City and United guys just to get a feel for it, but I'm not feeling, like, definitive right now. I'm like, this is how I'm going to handle it.
Yeah, I mean, so far, I have, like, two very different teams, and, you know, one has Trent and four fives in defense. Mm. And that team also has Greenwood and Foden. So I would just hide them and I would do like a 5-3-2 thing.
Yeah.
And then put them back in and I would be in a 3-5-2. And then I would do like Obbs and that third cheap, that second cheap forward out for, you know, Kevin or Raz right. or Kuhn right. or whatever. So that's one option. The other one I had is the more like conservative, long, medium, long-term team with very heavy defense with like Trent, Van Dijk, Laporte, and Doc, Doherty.
That's a lot of action in the back.
Yeah, and it would be more of like a 4-4-2. So, right. you know, that, and in that case, I wouldn't have any City or United attackers. I would probably only have Laporte, who I would hide, and I would just play like Mitchell or something that first yeah. week. And then I would just, you know, still have Werner, Mo, and Ziyech, and then those other couple spots are like, I have no idea yet. But those are the two sort of like structures I'm juggling between.
Yeah.
And I don't like one more than the other yet. I'm not sure.
Right. Man, and there's also the early wild card, I think, is very viable too. It's starting to feel like one of those things where as long as you have a plan, you're kind of okay, and there's not yeah. one definitely better way to do it or whatever.
Yeah. yeah. Unlike okay. post restart, where it's like, this is definitely one to do the things. Right? Right, this is definitely.
Right. You maximize no your bench or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think that's basically done. I mean, this is obviously going to be recurring, and...
Yeah, we'll know more, and we'll talk more, about it yeah, more.
All that yeah. shit, so... All right, yeah. so let's start at the back, right? That's usually how we do it?
Yeah, we just do goalies. We start with the shittiest thing, and then we work our way up to
yeah,
more
something things. To build into, yeah. We need to get going, so... We're doing, 2-6 million five, goalies. 5 and up, right? Yeah, start with the
yeah,
6-0s.
Yeah, 5-5 and up. So we have 2 6-0s. We have Alice Swan and Eddie.
Yeah.
I mean, Ederson is sort of the biggest joke of life that he had 16 cleans last year, and he's so far down in the points for goalies.
I mean, year before he had 20 and 6 yeah. bonus points and 20 cleans. 58 yeah, I mean, saves. Like,
at least that year he was up there. Like, he was like second, I think. He had almost 170 points, which would have which would have taken him up to like second to Pope, had 170 last year, but he gets no saves, no save points, no bonus, so
and takes a city slot. It's just
and takes a city slot.
Not an option.
It's not really an option. Allison, though, what do you think about Allison at 6?
I mean, we've been pretty ho-hum, 4-5 and 4-0, like, all the way. And I think that's right, because I think value-wise, you're never going to get the value from the expensive keepers. But it'd be very surprising to me if he doesn't finish number one keeper. I mean, that's why he's 6. And if he doesn't miss, like, 10 matches again, he'll be number one again.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I definitely.
He'll probably be around 20 cleans, and he'll be good.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's the same thing with him of the Liverpool spot. Like, you'd rather have the defender. You know, you'd rather have Trent. We have Trent, but you'd rather have, like, Van Dijk or Rabo and, but you know, the attacking slot.
It is close. I mean, 18, 19, 21 cleans, you finish on 176. Like, that's kind of around where I feel Van Dijk finishes every year, right?
Yeah, but the difference between the difference is a 4-5 defender gets like 80 points, and a 4-5 goalkeeper gets you like within 30 points.
40, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
that's why the value's bad.
That's the value, the value, the crowd.
Yeah. So we're just, it's not this section is not particularly interesting because we're not really into any of these options, right?
Yeah. But I mean, the 5-5s have some names. Like, I'm still seeing Pope in a lot of teams. And
it's surprising to me.
It is surprising. It really is surprising because
he's number one right now, ownership.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah.
The
5-5 is what he should be priced at because he gets, you know, over 150 points each year, which is basically a top five. Like, that's what he's going to do.
Yeah.
But at 5-5, you know, you still watch Burnley, and you know they keep a few cleans by the absolute skin of their teeth.
Every clean,
but you know, some more than others. And like, you know, he had 15 this year, and then a couple years ago when he played the same amount of minutes, almost he had like 11, right? And you know, if he dips, if they lose just a few, which you know is it's more likely that they lose clean sheets than a team like Liverpool because they're fucking Burnley and all they do is camp in their box. So like a bounce here, a bounce there. And they, like Liverpool are dominant, right? So it's, that's why we're like looking at this, or why I look at them a little bit differently with the regression possible. And, you know, they still have good underlying defense stats, but like it's fucking Burnley. So
yeah,
5-5 is a lot. It's just a lot. You know, paying 5-5 for a goalkeeper when they play on Burnley, who's going to finish, you know, 10th, just feels so.
I
mean,
there's just no upside. I just seen
yeah,
no
170
upside.
Is like the best he'll ever do.
He'll ever do. He's 15 ever. Cleans, penalty save, ton of saves, good bonus. Like, that's his peak.
He's never doing
it. Miss a literal minute. Of the entire season, like
that's a good point, and that's also what we talk about value of, you know, you don't want to buy high, you want to buy low. So you're buying, if you're buying Pope here at 5-5, I don't know, it's tough. Tough one for me. Yeah, I don't know. So other 5-5 options, we have Schmeichs, we have Rui. I mean, both have so many issues. To me, their biggest issues are just, they're like the most expensive routes into the defense almost. Like when you have 5-0 and 4, I mean, Leicester has like 3-4-5, everyone's dead or suspended, or but they have all these 4-5 options, and then Wolves have like Cody and shit at 5.
And Vinagre. Just
Vinny at 4-5, even if Goulam doesn't go. But, you know, that is enough for me to just never consider them. If they're more expensive than defenders, if the goalkeeper is more expensive than defenders, the goal you want to be is the cheapest route. Like, that should be the cheapest route into the defense.
Yep. And then Hendo is still on United, so whatever. Yeah. De Gea, I mean, he's ruined so many seasons for me. He's just...
Well, so what do you think about Lloris? Because he's the only 5-5 that I'm, like, moderately interested in.
The reason if I'm talking that you just said about before it. Is the reason why I'm not interested is because Dyer's 5.
The 5-0s.
Okay. Davis is 5.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's good. I mean, they're good, but I'd rather just go with the 5s, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's never gotten over one, bad. Like one mid 140s ish. Yeah.
That's bonus is a problem for him because he doesn't have pass completion. Like, he doesn't have any bonus things that are good in the game.
At some point, they must have changed the bonus system in the 10 years or whatever he's been in the league, but... Because, like, he used to be that guy. He used to be, like, the sweeper, like, almost Ederson style, like, out of the box, intercepting, passing. But he's not that guy anymore at all. So, yeah, he doesn't really get those kind of bones.
Yeah. I mean, the 5-5 bracket just... The premium goalies are just... I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what the conversation is around that's good. Because I haven't seen it yet.
I mean... You look at someone like Ryan, who we've both been on for a while, right? Like, Brighton were fucking bad last season. But he played every minute and still got 135. Like, that's
close. Which is basically what Lloris does.
It's close to Lloris's best ever FPL season.
Yeah.
In his
life. It's pretty similar to what De Gea gets every year, except for that one insane season.
Yeah, so it's just, that's what we're talking about, how it's just not worth.
All right, let's go to defense because goalkeeper is not fun. Yeah.
So there's so many defenders 5-5 and up.
So this is the one.
Should
thing
we do it by
this...
team or something? Or...
Yeah, I think we'll kind of do a little. Definitely by team. But I think that's the one thing with these, like, some sections and some of the episodes are going to be longer than others based on position, like based on the volume of players. So. You know, like when we do the mid-price defenders and we're really only doing like 5-0s, you know, that'll be shorter. So is going to be a longer defend, but whatever. So, so by team, you want to just go with Liverpool. So what do you see? We've got the three amigos.
All of their guys are 5-5 and up, even Matip and Gomez. So Trent, Robbo, VVD, Matip, Gomez. We got questions on it, so I'll just go there. Jono, is VVD a better option than Robbo now with the new left-back signing? CBE said, are we worried at all about Trent and Robbo's minutes? Klopp's comments about mass minutes shortening their careers a worry. And do it and see Tyke. He said that. And do it and see Tyke. And how do you feel?
He said that? Klopp
he
said that.
Like, yeah, they can't play mass this many minutes. It'll shorten their careers. And then do it and see Tyke said, how do you guys feel about Robbo versus VVD versus Gomez for second pool defenders? So that's assuming they have Trent.
Yeah, I don't really want to waste time talking about Trent like he's in. So
we talked
about
last pod how he's underpriced and great. So whatever.
That's fine. So Robbo, what are you thinking about that? Robbo, Van Dijk, Gomez at 5-5.
Well, so I'll just start with the left back. I mean, he is definitely a backup. He's
the
young.
New Greek guy?
Yeah. Like, he's young. Yeah. He's never played in any of the top leagues. Like, he's raw. We've seen Klopp, Pep, those kind of managers buy guys and then who don't play a minute for like 6 months. That's his job for now, is just learn the system and be a backup. Yeah, I mean, we were just saying, right, how like those guys we were just talking about, that's their best season, right? That's like Pope's peak season, like blah, blah, blah. Like, I wonder if Rabo has another level. In my head, I don't think he does. He's just going to consistently be great, but he doesn't have like the Trent next level of like, oh my God, he's adding like set pieces and goals. Like, that's not him. So for me, I think Rabo versus VVD is fine either way. I mean, they're close enough in points, and that 0.5 could help you do something else with your team. I think that's fine. I honestly don't think there's that big of a difference.
Yeah, I more pretty much agree. I think the 0.5 means a lot when our budget's 100.
Yeah, like,
and I don't,
more now than later.
Yeah, than it does in game week 20 when we're like, oh, our team value is 109 or like what, fucking whatever.
Yeah,
I like Rabo more. I agree. I don't think he has a higher level. I mean, he doesn't really shoot.
Yeah.
He overperforms his XA by a lot every year. I mean, playing on Liverpool will help you do that. But, you know, he does create a lot of big chances. And he's definitely good at crossing. He's got some corners. Like, you know, he'll lock in a one or two there. But I think that, like, in some teams, I see them with, like, Rabo, and then they have, you know, a 4-0, and it really should be, like, a 4-5 guy to solidify.
Right.
And I'm like, just get Van Dijk. And if you wild card in game week 5, and you're, you know, then maybe you do Rabo. But it's so close to me.
Yeah.
I mean, Van Dijk, he could finish with like a goal in a year and I wouldn't be that surprised, which is the only thing that I'm a little concerned about with him, because that really makes him in that like elite echelon of defenders, as he scores, you know, those 4 goals, and those are worth like fucking 30 points
because he gets
bonus points when he scores.
And those, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he had,
but I don't know why that would go down. I mean, his numbers are very consistent.
Well, he had 14 shots on target last year.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of shots.
Not a lot.
And what did he put in four? How many goals?
5 goals.
5. Like, that's,
yeah, he went over by 2.04.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like, there are defenders that have 25 shots on goal and have 1 goal. You know, that happens every year. Like, fucking Duffy or some shit, I don't know. So that's a little thing there.
I feel like,
but
headers are weird. And like,
yeah, they're weird.
The fact that he's winning the same amount, right, is like shots in total are basically the same. I'm just like,
yeah,
it's probably the same.
Sometimes they're off target at the bar. No, I mean, I'm just trying to say little things. You know, I'm definitely nitpicking here.
Totally.
But yeah, I like Van Dijk at 6.5 a lot. I think that, you know, they're both accurately priced. I was expecting these prices for Rabo and Van Dijk, and in the 100 million budget, I definitely prefer Van Dijk and put the 0.5 somewhere else. But
yeah, that's what I'm on currently.
Yeah. But a lot of people just love Rabo, and like, he's an attacker and he's fun to watch.
It's,
you know,
so
he's a lot more fun to watch than Van Dijk.
Fun.
And if that's if you're valuing that, it's like, yeah, totally. Like,
should,
no problem.
Should value that. Like,
yeah,
Liverpool are on TV
should.
All the time.
Yeah.
If you're going to be watching all the matches, then get the guys that are more fun and better. Yeah, make you happy.
And then, Gomez is just, the problem for me with Gomez is he has 0 attempts of goals or assists ever. Or bonus, really.
I'm even a step before that. Gomez, Mata, because I've gone there a lot in the past because I'm just trying.
Gomez is 5, though.
Yeah, just trying to get the value there. But the thing that our motto for the season is, we're not spending transfers on defender, right? When one of them loses their spot or whatever, and Gomez and Mata have both picked up like little niggles and knocks throughout their careers, like, that's a nightmare.
Yeah,
that,
but
so
the one thing with
shitty.
That, though, I'm a lot less worried about taking. I'm much more open to taking risk with the Game Week 1 team because we're going to wild card. Like,
you know,
we're not holding this thing until
fucking
December. So
yeah, that's fair.
But no, yeah, I agree. Yeah, Gomez, that second spot's a problem. So, so what do you think about having 2? Like, do you care that much, or do you think you definitely want 2 defenders?
I've had 2 and had no problems getting other guys I want in different positions.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm happy, but you know, there are definitely people who, like, are stretching for that extra premium attacker or whatever. Or, like, they don't like Werner, and so they want another 11 guy or whatever. And it's just, you know, then you need to scrape.
What do you think about the fixtures? I mean, they have Chelsea and Arsenal, game week 2 and 3. Do you care? Do you look at them for Liverpool defense? I mean, because, a lot of people are trying to look more short-term and with wildcard, like off game week 1.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Is that enough for you to not go to, because they're kind of trickier?
Yeah, I haven't looked with, like, from the perspective of an early wildcarder. This will happen soon, because I have to consider that I probably will use my wildcard kind of early, and then you want the short-term fixtures. But every fixture surrounding those two is so good. Unless you're wildcarding 2 or 3, for just specifically for City and United guys, then I think you ignore them or ignore the fixtures. But if you're wildcarding anywhere past game week 2 or 3, just get the Liverpool guys. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay.
Like, Arsenal is a pretty decent clean sheet fixture.
That's okay.
Chelsea's really bad.
Yeah.
But then, like,
what could happen?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Should we just go to City? Chelsea or City? Chelsea? Yeah, sure.
City. Let's do City next.
Okay, City. So they have 6-0 Walker, 6-0 Mendy, 6-0 Laporte, and then a bunch of 5-5s too.
Yeah.
They just kind of didn't know what to do with them, huh?
Yeah, it seems really weird to me. I think Laporte's underpriced. I think he should have been 6-5. I don't really get why, because he's injured, they dinged him.
Yeah,
because,
I guess that's why. Yeah.
But that's dumb, right? Like, that doesn't make sense.
No, yeah, that's to pat ourselves on the back. That's kind of where we've been since post-mortem, is like, who's injury prone and therefore underpriced?
Yeah, and I mean, saying he's injury, yeah, I could see that. But either way, I think 6 for him is just underpriced, and I like him a lot.
That's fair. Yeah, and I haven't considered him.
Yeah, I've been looking at him a lot more as I, like, kind of absorbed and processed the prices a lot more. I think he's a great pick.
What do you think about, like, lacking your... Sorry to cut you off. What do you think about, like, the limiting your positional flexibility with City attackers? Like, does that concern you at all, or is that like...
No. Yeah. The main reason why it doesn't concern me is that all their players are fucking 30 million, so I'm not likely going to be able to afford 3 attackers. I mean, I could go Mahrez, Foden, premium.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like, one of them starts 3 out of the first 4. That's a guy you want to jump on, right?
Yeah, if I didn't like Foden so much, you know, like, I just love him. So I don't want to have, like, I hear what you're saying.
Number 69, Tommy Doyle starts false 9, game week 1. Like,
yeah, right. I think that there isn't, other than Aguero, like, there's not a lot of value in this team. And there are a lot of good attackers around the league. And, you know, if you're... You know, you can't captain more than one player, so I don't think you need more than one primo, unless if you're just trying to, you know, do that thing where they have some really good fixtures and you want to pile on, which they don't. I mean, they have really, really bad fixtures for a while, till basically December. So I like the defender.
They are
there.
Really bad. I haven't really looked at them.
And
horrendous.
we'll talk about Kun later, because it's a little problematic to me with Kun, but I like the idea of Laporte just as a steady hand, because they're gonna clean 50% of their games. They always do, because they're just so good. And I like, you know, Laporte just as that steady option when you can't afford. You know, we're coming off the end of the season, right? That's what we remember. We're like, oh yeah, we had, like, Kevin was underpriced, so we had Kevin, and then we had Raz, and we had fucking everyone.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not what we're doing now, right? In the reality of 100 million, when they repriced everyone, you know, you have to pick who you're going to be able to afford. And, you know, I want 3 City players, but if you have 3 City players who are all in attack, then that means you're not having a lot of something else. But if you have Laporte, you know, you could still do some things. So, yeah, I like Laporte. And, you know, another person who's been, we've been talking a little bit about in Slack is Cancelo.
Interesting.
I don't really understand how someone sat down and priced Mendy at 6 and Cancelo at 5-5. It doesn't make any
ridiculously
sense.
Ridiculously dumb.
But, you know, Mendy was sitting out in the Champions League games, which are the important games. So maybe, you know, end of season, it just took Cancelo the year to figure out what Pep wanted him to do at fucking left back, which
sort
is
of expected because it's Pep. Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, if he makes that spot, you know, if he plays more and he makes that spot, you know, more his own.
Yeah.
There are attacking stats in him, I think. So that's someone I'm not comfortable starting with for sure, because I still just don't know, and it's not worth it because you can't have your 5-5 defender missing games. But just as a name for the future, maybe just to think about, I could see a world where it's game week 5 and everyone's like, he's in every team.
Yeah, I mean, he has the same expected assists per 90 as Robbo, just to put it in perspective.
Yeah, he's,
and he's 5-5 on the best attacking team in the league.
Yeah, when he plays, he's, you know, he looks like he's got assists in him. And
I mean, he was like 60 million for a reason, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, that is very interesting. And no one else is, right? I mean,
Ake could be if he's playing and they don't sign the fucking Napoli guy, Koulibaly, but which he could. I don't know. I mean, two left footers, he could still do that. And if Ake's playing 5-5, that's dream. Like, that's way better than Laporte, but I think that's probably about it.
Yeah,
they're going to buy. I mean, they're still going to buy. So.
Yeah, they're going to buy. And they even
that's the other thing, too, is if they buy the Koulibaly dude or some other dude, right? Like, they're just better. So, Laporte,
yeah,
6. I'm
selling. That's true. Yeah.
Koulibaly
will be 6-5 or something, right? Because he'll be like 90 million and like.
Yeah, 6 or 6-5 or something like that. But I love Laporte. I think Laporte at 6 is just a really good price.
I haven't thought about him, but I'm interested. Yeah. I'm fucking with him right now, even though I should be like hosting a podcast or something. But let's go Chelsea. They just have Aspil and Alonso. They have not reinforced the defense at all yet, even though they're rumored for Thiago Silva and Chilwell and keeper deals. But as of now, no interest, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are 5, which is supposed to technically, but it doesn't matter. But
yeah, I'm just talking about Aspil and Alonso.
Absolutely not. Alonso won't be playing for them. And I mean, Reece James is the name that I'm more interested in backline, but we could talk about it next week. Aspil at 6. If they sign Chilwell, I don't really get where Aspil Aquetta's playing and how long they can keep carrying his corpse, because he's just.
Like he's still good at center back, but he's undersized, so he needs a partner who wins everything, Thiago Silva.
Yeah, but he's also small.
Yeah, he's like 6 foot or something. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know
where he plays. I don't know what they're gonna do. I mean, frankly,
I love when towers just make everyone the same price because they have no fucking idea. Zuma, Christensen, Rudiger, James, Tomori, Emerson.
Caballero and Kepa, 5-5, whatever.
They're just throw them in the 5 bin. I don't give a shit. Fuck them.
Oh my God. The reject bin. It's fucking ridiculous. I think that the pricing is fine, to be fair, though, with Chelsea.
It is fine.
I probably would have done the same thing. I maybe would have put Aspil at 5-5 because he's fucking sucks, but Emerson at 5 is so stupid, but yeah, more or less, I think they did okay with Chelsea.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. Everton have Dean and Mina. I'm just going by teams with premium price guys. Yeah. I don't know if this is okay or not.
No, this is great. Dean at 6 is very upsetting. I don't understand that.
I wish
he
was 5-5, yeah.
Yeah, they do the thing, and then it prices the player out of the game. It's like, just delete them from the fucking player pool. Like, no one's paying 6 for Dean.
I don't think it's that incorrect, to be fair.
What?
I think it's incorrect for game week 1 and how Everton ended the season. No, like, I'm not starting my season with Dean, but if they buy a midfielder or two and look good under Carlo, he will easily earn 6, I think. If they're, like, the 8th best team in the league, which they could be, you know, he's gonna be ridiculously good. Like, he still created chances like crazy last season.
2 seasons ago, he had 9 attacking returns and 13 cleans, and he didn't get what Doc, like, that's his peak. That's his ceiling. 158. They're not going to keep more than 13 cleans.
Yeah, but he could get double digit assists. I think he's that good.
I don't know.
I mean, he had 4 goals that season, too. I don't know. I just think
he's
really, really good.
He's got some set pieces. Yeah, I don't know. I'm put off by the 6.
Me too. But I'm saying, like, I think he could earn it.
He could do 12.
I think he could earn it. Yeah.
He could earn it, but at the same time, then you're paying for the actual best possible case season to earn.
Yeah, which is why he's not in our Game Week 1 teams.
Yeah, he's in, you know, why he's in big. I haven't seen a single team with him, no. Really. No. I mean, they start with pretty good fixtures, like at Spurs isn't great, but then they have West Brom, Palace, Brighton. Wow. So if you're looking at the early wild card, you know, he's definitely someone you could think about there, but he's still pretty expensive.
Wow, I'm looking at that right now.
Yeah, and then you're looking at the other players he's competing with, right? Like the Liverpool, the other players we've been mentioning. I mean, granted, you know, City don't have a game, and we haven't talked about Doc yet. We'll get there. Fixture's a little tougher, but I don't know. I'm pretty cold on Dean, honestly. Yeah,
me too.
I did like, but it was someone though we talked about in the pre-cog pod because he did create a lot. I mean, he was the creative outlet for the team.
I mean, we just talked about Cancelo and Rabo's stats. Like Dean is right there.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, it's just the difference is fucking Everton. Like he's
Liverpool, City, and
shit to donkeys. Yeah. Like exactly, to DCL, who's you know DCL gets a fucking XG of like 7 to get 4 goals. Like that's what he does. You know.
Yeah.
So that's a big difference. But yeah, I just 6 is upsetting. But yeah, we'll see.
Everton kind of always get the like price hike. I feel like a little.
They get treated like they're
the fifth or sixth best team, like knocking on the door when they're way behind like Leicester and Wolves and shit.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just weird. Their pricing every year kind of does me in with some of the names. I mean, I think like DCL was fine, Rich fine, you know, midfield fine, but yeah, the defense is just. Yeah,
why
I don't
is
know.
Dean 6 and Mina 5 and Pickford 5? It's just like
Mina's bad. I don't know.
Dude, don't talk about Mina that way. I like Mina.
I know.
But yeah, I mean, we need to see it from them before we believe any of this shit, right?
Yeah, I think so. We need to see them buy. They need to buy. I mean, they still haven't bought as of Saturday night, you know, August 22nd, whatever it is right now. They need to fucking buy some midfielders. And they gave up 3 goals in the first half today to, like, Blackpool or Ipswich Town or some fucking team I barely know. You hate to see things like that. I don't know if Carlo. I mean, it was like a B team sort of ish, kind of. But
see,
you know,
they
maybe
bought one defender for $240,000, so he must be really good.
Probably
highly rated. Good. Leicester have a ton of premium guys. They're all hurt and suspended, though, like you said. So there's.
Yeah, I mean, Chilwell. Why don't we talk about Chilwell at Chelsea at 5-5? Yeah. Do you think that's the thing?
Yeah. Could be okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't really like the fact that Frank just doesn't give a fuck at all about defending, it seems like, based on their like transfer and just how he sets them up. So I'm worried. I don't know if they're going to get any better, but he certainly makes them a bit better. Like him just playing 90 every game over Alonso, nightmare, Reese out of position, Emerson, yeah. Like he's better than all of them, so that would be good. But I don't know. I also just like don't like him and don't think he's that good. I can see him. So I don't really want him. But
yeah,
I.
So the Leicester guys.
Pereira is a guy that like if he was fit, I'd be like he is priced correctly and is in that elite fullback echelon of like
I agree.
Attacking fullback, but he's still hurt and not expected to be ready at all for Game Week 1, so I'm not interested at all.
When's he supposed to actually be back? Is it like winter?
The fantasy site says October 1st. I don't know where they get their information, but that's really bad. That's far.
That's far.
Yeah, I don't know. Soy, Evans is suspended.
Ridiculous pricing.
Yeah, this is just. They didn't adjust for how fucking horrible they were the second half of the season.
Yep. So no interest whatsoever.
Well, are you really? Yeah, I mean, your rule is just no Leicester players to be
no Leicester all year for sure. Easy game.
So yeah. Wolves are good.
Doc. Also, just like Laporte, underpriced, should have been 6-5.
Yeah, Doc is tremendous.
I was looking more. I don't usually look at season stats. Like when I look at stats during the year, I'm looking at like the last 4 to 6 games usually because I think things
you
change
want the,
too
like,
quickly.
Snapshot, yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe in you know what happened in you know, September is indicative when I'm looking at sets in February or anything. So that said, Doc last year, dude, stats are just fucking ridiculous.
He had about them.
13 big chances.
Yeah, I see. And he only finished 2.5
He only finished under, 3 of them.
Yeah, he's 2.5 under his non-penalty XG. That's crazy.
I mean, he plays fucking fullback, obviously, whatever, but 13 big chances is so many big chances.
So many, yeah.
13!
So many. Yeah, I mean, he barely plays fullback. I mean...
No, yeah, he barely does. I mean, it's... There's no one remotely close to
forward,
that.
One forward had 13 big chances. Ollie McBurney.
Love that. But like Trent had 2 big chances all year.
Yeah, I mean Trent's not in the box. Doc is
no,
like,
I know, but I'm just it's like
I know I'm supporting what you're saying. 13. It's like he makes the he's the third attacker in the box, right? Like Jim is central and in the box. Then it's like either Jota or Adama, and then Doc is the third run always. He's just like he's so good, man. He's so good.
13.
I just find it difficult to go pay the 1.5 over Vinegar. Is nailed, but we don't know.
Yeah, I think that Doc, so it's coming back to that philosophy, like do you wanna, you know, go with the cheaper defense and then when you wild card you get in the more like safe hands.
Yeah, maybe.
And maybe that's what you do. But, you know, I'm trying to look at those things in isolation because whether or not you have one or doesn't mean the other's not as good of an asset. Like, just because you have one Wolves defender doesn't mean that they're not going to keep the same amount of clean sheets. Like, they don't know who's on your team. So, Doc with, like, when I look at his stats and I look at his last year, you know, he had 4 goals. And the year before, he had 4 as well and, like, some more minutes. And I don't have 2 years ago stats or whatever up here, but... If he gets on the right side of luck a little bit, you know, he has like a 7 or 8 goal season and he's 200
that's
points.
Like, yeah, that's like,
right. I mean,
and it's real. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's real. Like the underlying support.
His stats are hilarious, actually. What the hell? Starting from the championship in 16-17, he's 4 goals every season. And his assists are 4, 4, 5, 3. Average 4 goals, 4 assists. On the nose, last 4 seasons combined.
Well, he had fantasy assists, because so, he had 7 and 8 the last 2 years in FPL. Because he gets rebounds and he gets the pen shit. So, but yeah, I mean, but the same thing is with those underlings. Like, there is more there. So he's just a really good asset. He's a really good asset. Doc, so good.
God, you're already talking me into just, like, absolute massive at the back.
But this is the thing, like, we did this last year and it was a disaster. So I do think for that reason that starting cheaper at the back and jamming all the premiums and putting all the money in attack is very viable. It gives you some time to just, like, hopefully spike a couple things and then go back to the 6-pointers where they're going to be. But
Okay, this is trouble.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. Bully and Johnny, we don't need to talk about them.
Yeah, they're both fine, but not really too interesting. The Johnny's not fine, he's dead. But the other thing too is like we were talking about is the strategy you play is to not play 6 strategies. Like you gotta pick one. So
yeah.
If you're doing the thing where you don't want to spend transfers in defense and you wanna have it really safe, then you don't pick 4 or 5s at the back. Like you need to pick some like Dyers and some Robbos and Trents and shit.
Or you don't have a 4-0 alongside your 4-5s and have like a rotation. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
because one of them will be okay or whatever. Yeah, yeah, good yeah, enough. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you're gonna do the thing where, you know, you're rotating the premiums, you know, you just have to pick your thing. So that's the thing that's difficult.
Ooh, you're doing my head in right now a little bit. A little bit. Okay.
Because if we start doing like, oh, we're gonna pick all the good defenders and then it's game week 4 and we're like 500K. And we have 1 clean sheet from 3 game weeks from like Doc or something. We're like, this is bad. Like, go to 4-5s, get the premiums. And then we're like, oh, Doc starts getting the points, right? Like, that's what we
they
do. That's what we
clean.
So yeah, we need to talk about that in the future, but save that for later.
Yeah, save that. Other premium defenders, Arsenal, Louise, and Tierney.
Two.
We said this earlier. It's like there's so many variables on Arsenal. We don't know their back line. We don't know the shape.
Yeah. The thing with him, though, is they have the Fulham West Ham double dip, 1-2. So if you're going for the super wild card game week 3, which a lot of people are doing again, right?
Why are people wild carding game week 3 and not 2?
Well, City
is it just because City have Wolves? But like,
yeah,
but United have Palace, so it's like
no, yeah. So maybe they're gonna maybe you're gonna spend one move to get a United player in something.
I see.
It lets you skip Wolves and City for the first game, two game weeks, and then get it.
That's fair. Okay. I mean, Tierney might be fine. Fixtures are good.
Two. Yeah, for those two, and then you dump them. Like that could be fine.
Yeah.
PVA's hurt. Tarko, I don't need to talk about him.
United guys.
They're too expensive. They're at 5.
Are
you like 1B?
I just thought that they'd be like 6.
Dude, are you kidding me? We're on 40 minutes right now.
Well, there's so many more defenders than the other positions, though. So many more.
All right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, listen. People come here for this fucking, I'm also recording using a new program, so like my eyes are constantly like I'm like looking at the program, making sure it's good. And it's very nerve wracking, but yeah, I thought they'd come in at 6. I mean, they obviously got better through the season, right? And these guys are nailed and going to play 90 every single match. And Juan like got some late assists and stuff, and like it's a problem that they have De Gea, but you know, I don't know, they might buy guys. I think they're pretty decent. Honestly, think they're pretty decent picks.
But there are five guys, though. You go for the 5 guy.
Shaw or Lindy. Whatever. Yeah, Shaw or Lindy. Or maybe Maguire will end up in Greek prison and never get out, and then we get Lindy and Bae, and I love Bae.
Just don't call him a fridge, and
you fucking fridge, mate. Chef, you have expensive guys. We're not really interested, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just want the center back. If you want a piece, you go cheap.
I agree with that. And then Spurs, we mentioned the 5-0 guys, which kind of nullifies like a Toby type, I think. But Aurier's still good.
Aurier's still very interesting to me.
He might get transferred, but I still don't understand why.
Why? Yeah, they don't have anyone else. So.
They have no one else. They got rid of KWP.
I still just think he's sort of a trap in terms of the attacking like incentive.
Why?
I think he's bad.
The whole team. Oh, really?
No, I think it's like Navas. Like I watch him and I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing?
I don't see it that way. I think he's pretty good going forward.
I don't. I think he doesn't know where the ball. He's fucking head down. He just kicks it. He doesn't know. Where
but
it's
going. He's also good at those like shots from the corner of the box and weird shit like that, and he's really good dribbling and really fast and like
he's got the intangibles, but for FPL I don't see him creating chances. I just see him donking crosses to fucking dunk, you know, like that's what he does to me, or Bednarek. And when there's like Dyer at 5, Bavis at 5, like
that's what kills it.
That's the same thing.
All right,
Foyth at
4-5. Defenders. So we're 40.
Oh my god,
3 minutes in, and we haven't talked about a single midfielder or forward. But there's really not that many.
There aren't that many. So okay, this is fine, dog.
This is fine. So mids, should we just start with the 12s? Right. So Obbs is 12. Mane and Mo.
There aren't
12.
That many, but there's so much more to talk about. Like there's so much more.
There is, but also Kev, Raz, Bruno, Rash, Mara is all blank.
Yeah, but it's still we still have to talk about
still
them.
The things. Yeah, it's still
we're not going to talk about them again.
Yes. Yeah. Until pencils down, pod. Oh god.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Need more time.
it's in a month. So Mo Mane.
They're really good.
Yeah.
I don't think I need to say any more.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really moved off Mo since I started tinkering.
Yeah, I've been on him. If you prefer Mane, I think it's kind of fine. Like, I don't know. They're just really good.
It's just the underlyings with the volume for Mo is, you know,
and
his conversion rate.
Yeah, and the pens.
Liverpool don't get pens. They wear the wrong red.
Who knows?
Premier League to get the pens.
Maybe this will be the year.
They did get one. Yeah, when Stevie G, he had that 1 year, he had a lot. But,
oh, my God. Yeah, 13, 14. He had like double digit.
Mo has the underlying volume that Mane just doesn't have. And Mo's conversion rate's been going down every year for the last three, which, you know, whether or not it's his true value or his true skill level or whatever, like, I have no idea and I wouldn't pretend to know. But last season, this was the thing, right, that I keep coming back to, is like last season is the worst he could possibly do. And he almost had the most points in the game.
Yeah, and he was injured for like months.
Yeah, and he missed. Yeah, he missed games, and he was knocked for a bunch of games, and his output was suffering from that. So, like, to me, he's like a 25-10 guy. Like, I think he probably is like has like six more goals in him or whatever.
So like, classic,
I think
that, like Jermaine O'Neal, just like putting him
20-10. Jermaine O'Neal, deep breath.
Right, Derek's laughing right now. That's all I care about.
He was always on Derek or Don's fantasy NBA team, obviously.
True. Yeah, no, I mean, Mo,
Or like Zebra. I mean, now I'm thinking of 2010.
Some people really don't like Mo, and they like Mane. And Mane is incredible. And, you know, overperforms his finishing shit every year because he's just so good and so lethal. And I'm not going to, like, hate on that.
No,
it's fine.
Hate it.
You know,
what do you think about Mane over Aubs? Game week one,
also fine. I mean, to be fair, I haven't spent much time looking at the fixtures. I know Aubs has like god tier fixtures.
Yeah, so they have Fulham, West Ham, and Liverpool have Leeds, Chelsea.
Yeah, yeah. So they're definitely better, but Leeds is still probably a good fixture.
Yeah, actually, definitely a good fixture. Leeds are going to probably try and play the same way as Liverpool and get fucking obliterated.
But it's not Fulham, West Ham, probably.
No, it's not. No, it's definitely not. I mean, they play Chelsea. Like, that's the toughest fixture of the four.
Yeah.
Would you do that, or do you think that's kind of like suicide because Aubs is going to be way more owned and more captained, like, and he's good and probably the best captain game week two and of any of these players because it's home West Ham when they play Chelsea?
I think you got to go Aubs then.
You got to go up there. Yeah. I came to that. Yeah. I was interested in the Mane thing. Yeah. We were talking, some people were talking about on Discord. I thought it was interesting, but yeah, I came to that also with Aubs.
The thing, I've said this a million times, and Arsenal fans always get mad when I say it, but the one thing for me with Aubs isn't like where he plays, whatever. Like, I don't give a shit about that. His numbers have gone down for three or four consecutive seasons. Like, he way overperformed last season, like he never has in his life. Like, we have enough information that we know he's not an above-average finisher. He's incredible at just getting a lot of chances. And so I do expect a lot of regression from him. He's old. His numbers are declining. He way overperformed. And Arsenal aren't that good attacking. So
I could see that.
Yeah, like, short-term, I think it's kind of ridiculous to argue Mane over Aubs with those two fixtures, but like my outlook on Aubs, I think, is a lot lower than the majority of people that I'm seeing. But just like
I think he's a bad pick, but I think he's definitely should be in the team for game week one. Fulham, West Ham.
Then Fulham are probably the worst team in the league.
Yeah, I mean,
competing
they're
with,
in the bottom. Yeah, West Brom, whatever. But
yeah,
and then it goes, you know, they have at Liverpool, at City, two of the next three after that, so you don't want anything there. So, yeah, I think Aubs is, I mean, that kind of covers
Aubs. Aubs is great
for
an early wild card guy or just like a planned transfer guy.
Yeah, I think he was the big winner from the game week one blank, like if this actually happens. That, you know, Aubs was in no teams and now he's in every team because he's already a placeholder.
33% owned.
Yeah, he's a placeholder.
Yeah.
So let's go over. We got Raz and Kev over at City. So what are we looking at there?
I don't know, man. We talked about them a lot, I think, on the price reaction pod. I liked your idea of like doing it by letting captaincy decide between the two. Whereas me and you, if they had a game week one fixture, me and you were kind of both nailed on Kun, and we both prefer captaining Kun to Raz. And for that reason, maybe Kev is better than Raz because he's just our cornerstone that we just keep all season. But if you're looking to captain these guys, which usually you are with 11-5s, I prefer captaining Raz, so I would go him in that scenario. But they're both great. City are great. They're gonna get a lot of points. Don't really need to say or think more than that, right?
Yeah, it got me more interested in Kevin because the fixtures to me read like Kevin games to me. Like they're tougher games, you know.
I need to look into that because I need to look in if that's like a one season wonder or if that shit is real. But yeah, last season it seemed like he played further forward and got a lot more points in the tougher matches.
Yeah,
if that's actually systematic or that just happened.
He just looked eye test to me that he was more central and more pushed.
Yeah, there was that Arsenal game is the one that sticks in my head where he just legit was false nine.
Yeah.
And he got like a second quad striker return or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, when I'm looking at these games and you know, we'll touch on Kun later, but you know, you want Kun in the home bankers and you want Raz in the away bankers. And they have like neither. They have no home bankers until Burnley game week 10, which is kind of a weird one, even though they did do them 5-0 with no fans the end of last year. And the only away bankers, I mean, Leeds, we don't know if that's an away banker, but they have West Ham. So they're just all tough. Like they're Leeds, playing.
Let me just interject on Leeds because I brought up the relegation odds on last pod. I was looking at the 538 as they're like, they have like the world rankings of every team. Leeds were 52nd. They were higher than like.
I don't want. Why are we talking? What?
It's crazy. Dude,
does Leeds own? Do people in Leeds own all of these companies?
No.
That put these odds out?
No. They're just actually projected to be that good.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
No, I think. I don't actually know because I don't watch the championship. But I think the reason why is because every year since Bielsa's been there, they've been, by the numbers, by far the best team in the championship. Like, not even remotely close. This is the one year they got promoted. So now...
But to put them in the top 50 in the continent is fucking ridiculous.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's just Bielsa things. I have no other words. I don't know.
Okay, so other than that... You know, but so the fixtures for City, right? There's at West Ham game week six, which is like, that's a Raz, right? You're like, oh, that's a Raz game.
Yeah.
But the other ones are just like, Kevin could do between 8 and 15 and like any of the other ones. And I don't really want Raz or like Kun or, you know, I mean, I do.
Like if you
great,
don't
but,
plan
you know,
on
if I have to pick one,
them, then they're not value.
Yeah, but like I would captain Kevin, you know, if Leeds are a little wobbly, like I would captain him at Leeds. I would captain Kevin home Arsenal, maybe. Like, I would captain him at West Ham. Like, at Sheffield United, maybe. Like, Liverpool, no. Like, at Spurs, no, probably. But, you know, I don't know. I just... I like Kevin a lot.
For the early period, it's weird. Dude. Like, most of us will have wildcarded by game week 10 when their fixtures start easing up.
Yeah.
So what to do with them from game weeks 1 through 9 is really interesting.
Yeah, and that...
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Leeds and West Ham are the only two, like... I definitely want to captain a guy from City.
Yeah.
And all the others are really bad.
Yeah.
Although, and Leicester, deceptive. Leicester because Burnham. They are good against every other team. But when they play Liverpool and City, they get fucking embarrassed and absolutely demolished. And that derailed their whole season last season.
That could be a Kun game.
Like, I think Liverpool beat them 4-0 and City beat them 5-0 in back-to-back matches. When Leicester were, like, second in the league at their peak.
Leicester suck.
So, that's a sneaky Kun game week 3.
Yeah, I like that. I agree. I agree with the Leicester shout.
Okay.
So, but it's as tough of an opening run for City as I could have, if I was to draw it up. Like, this would be it. It's a
for
tough,
fantasy,
it's a tough run.
It's like, yeah.
It's tough. So, which is why I like Laporte.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I like Laporte. I mean, you look at those fixtures from a clean sheet perspective. You like Wolves, you like Leicester, you like Leeds, Arsenal maybe, you like West Ham, you like Sheffield United,
yeah,
you like Spurs.
Everybody never like, Cleans.
Yeah, I like that.
Bruno and Rash.
So Bruno and Rash, 10-5 and 9-5. We got two questions on them. This one's long. Moo is Illuminati. He said, what's the argument for going Bruno?
This is my boy, dude.
You like him a lot?
Yeah, well, he had those good questions last
week. Oh, yeah, and with the Foden thing. What's the argument for going Bruno over Rashford? Rashford is pretty much the same stats with significantly higher non-penalty XG since the restart, and is cheaper and gets midfielder points this year. I'm admittedly biased against Bruno because it felt like he just kept hauling via sideways passes, but I think Rash is better avenues to points is maybe a thing, but are they really going to keep spamming penalties? Give us an anti-Bruno rant, or why am I wrong? And then Haffy followed up and said, what are your thoughts on Bruno? Can't seem to wrap my head around him. Do I want him or not?
That's a lot of action. A lot of vitriol towards Bruno Fernandes. What's going on with that?
Is he 10-5 Milivojevic, or is he fucking great? I mean, I think he's a great pick. Like, 10-5 for him is good.
I get it when people are looking at the underlyings and, you know, talking about regression, like, blah, 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 this and that. It doesn't match up with what I watch in my eyeballs, in my head.
So
like, he's just an incredible player. And, yeah, he's, you know, banging some direct frees and pens and shit, and he's not getting high XG chances in the box, but the thing that people seem to always forget is the XG stat is based on every player in the league getting chances from a specific spot. And Bruno Fernandes is not every player in the league. You know, he, just like Kevin, is not every player in the league. Kevin outperforms his XG because he's one of the best players in the world. Bruno is, to me, when I watch him, in that category of he's going to do better than what the underlyings say in perpetuity. And, you know, I know his, you know, his underlyings were really bad. Like the last four, like, okay, bro, like he played 10 games with 3 days off or 2 days off between them for 3 months before the last four. Like, I get it. He had two shots.
And cups and all that shit too.
Okay, cool. Like you're smarter than everyone. Like, that's great. He's going to do really badly. But when you watch United play, he's just in and around a lot. And, you know, he's got directs and directs, pens and, pens are sustainable for United. Every single fucking year they get at least six. Every year. I was gonna say that too.
It's not like a thing that just happened last season and their players started going down and getting calls. It's like, no, they're training to do this. And it just happens every year. So just don't pretend like it's like some weird anomaly. Like, and I said this I think on the last pod, or maybe it was on Discord or something, but like if in our heads we're banking 10 penalty goals, around 10 for Bruno, then, like, he should be in every team. That's insane. We're saying, like, he's starting with 10 goals because he doesn't miss pens.
Oh, yeah, he's good at them. Yeah, 10's...
That's conservative for Manchester United.
No, you're right. I mean, yeah, like, they have 15 last year or something?
They broke the record that they set the year before.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Bruno's a really good pick. He's the one that's like the most difficult for me because he means you sacrifice somewhere else. And, you know, it's either not having a City captain option or not having Mo.
Right.
Or, you know, you don't have Werner. What are we going to say with him, by the way? It fucking pisses me off.
I enjoy saying Werner.
Werner. So I'd like, we I'd just like do that. Werner.
Yeah, just all right, Werner all right. All
I need
the
to
way.
Just... I see the W and I'm like, oh, I'm American. So I say,
yeah, exactly. Oh, it's like Warner Bros. I get it.
I got it. So yeah, but Bruno 10-5 just, I thought he was going to be 11-5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think he's underpriced. I think he's underpriced. Yeah. I think he's just underpriced.
Yeah. I mean, like, you would prefer the underlyings obviously to be better. That's a thing.
Yeah, you prefer Rash's underlyings, but you don't prefer your player to fucking suck, which is who Rash is.
And also, he, like you said, he played 90 or 120 in every game with 2 or 3 days off nonstop. He was also bought in January. Like, he's new.
He just got there.
Literally just got there.
And he's on pace for 300 points. Everyone's trying to find the problems, and there's no problems. He's so good.
No, he's just great. Like, he's just
well. Let's go to Rash. I'm not surprised because everyone's a Manchester United fan in the world. But 9-5, like, are you kidding me? Like, how is that good? How is he good? I get it. Okay, maybe he looks good for a game, and then he's good for like three games, and then he's fucking bad for 2 months.
But midfield points, people are banking in, like, baking that in a lot, and he'd be on in a lot more points.
Especially with their an extra 10 points.
No, I mean, he scored 17 goals.
We got 31 bonus last year. He's probably going to get like 18 now, so right?
Cleans and goals. Big. Yeah, I don't know how to do the math anyway.
He had
like,
fucking 6 pens last year. Like, he's going to have maybe one this year.
That's crazy.
If you've been 6 goals off his 17, he's like 11-7. Like, I think that's more true value for me.
That's
him.
Crazy.
Like, yeah, I think he's probably around like an 11-10 player. Like, maybe he hits 15 when he doesn't, but like, maybe he takes another step forward. He's still young. Okay. But I see a very inconsistent raw player when I watch him. Every game is like either he's completely wasteful and he should get subbed at halftime, or he's unplayable and then he fucking donkeys his finishes and he's still not getting points.
And he's been under XG every season except one.
Yeah. It's just
where he played a lot of minutes. Yeah. So,
I mean,
yeah,
no pens. I don't get 9-5, dude. 9-5?
The thing I don't get is that Tony's 9.
Better. So much better.
He's just better in, like, literally every way. Like, plays the preferable position, better at actual football, better at scoring. Like, he's just better in every way. That's what I really don't get. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not too interested in Marcus.
I'm so uninterested in Rashford. I'm very happy that people are interested in him.
Yeah. Yeah. Very inconsistent. Who else do we have? Son, Pulisic, and Mahrez.
Son. So, like, that's another... Right, we just talked about Rashford. In what fucking world is Rashford 0.5 better than Son? That's insane. That's insane.
Actually bonkers.
That's not a possibility, but...
Yeah.
I think Son's okay. I mean, they have a good opening run. They do have the qualifying, which is a little bit concerning, and their opening run from an attacking standpoint isn't great. You know, Everton, we're pretty tight. And, you know, Southampton's going to be probably a tough game, and United in game week 4. They have Newcastle game week 3, which is great. And then, you know, it's whatever. But, again, when you have the City and Manchester United teams blanking, you know, I'm seeing Kane and Son in more teams than before, you know. So I don't have too much of a problem with Son. I just don't love paying the premium for the Moo.
The Moo guys. I haven't made my mind up with Spurs. I don't know what they're about. Like, I need to look back at the project restart to see what changed when Son and Kane started scoring all the goals. Like, did they go to 4-4-2? Like, where was Son playing? I need to look back at all that shit. I just haven't wrapped my head around it yet. But, yeah, I like Son. I like Kane at the price. Kane's an easy swap to, like, Kun or whatever.
Ollie's the thing that I was like, I didn't get any hits on in Discord, but I was like trying to remember or ask like where were they playing when Ollie was in, because I don't think it was very many games that all three of them started.
It wasn't. And then Ollie was like mysteriously dropped. I don't know.
Yeah, just didn't play after the restart. So yeah, that's something that I'm
confused about. That's a thing. He might end up being the guy out of all three of them.
Yeah, definitely could see that. Because if Son does actually go wide to provide width and create chances,
normal,
and Ollie's the support striker to be getting the Son passes, which is makes sense in my head of how I would probably make the team.
Right.
I mean, whether that happens or not, I don't know.
Normal new team is 4-2-3-1. The double pivot holds. One of the two wingers is further forward. That would be Son in this case. The other guy's like the workhorse, like Lucas or Bergwijn. And then support striker and striker have to basically score all the goals. Yeah. Oscar and fucking Diego Costa all over again.
Dogface Gabo, baby.
Yeah, so...
And I mean, I always wanted Oscar, so that makes sense why I like Ollie.
Yep. Could be good.
285s, and then we're going to go to forwards.
Yeah, so we got a question on Pooley. Jack said, could Pulisic be the Chelsea asset to own? I like this perspective. I haven't done the research to follow it up. He said, Ziyech's curling passes from the right side of the box tend to go to the left winger. Left winger Tadic scored 28 in 18-19, while Huntelaar at striker scored only 16. And then in 19-20, Tadic moved to striker. Goals dropped from 28 to 11, while Ajax's top scorer was again the left winger, in this case, Promise.
Quincy.
So
that's a deep dive. Is that
Jack
Ames?
That's really interesting. I need to look
sign
up like
up.
A compilation of Ziyech and see if that's where all of his assists actually go, like sort of a Trent trajectory of like the far post crosses or whatever. Because if that's the case, that could be something to build on, to be honest. But as of now, Pooley's still hurt, right? I mean...
Yeah, well, he's still hurt, so that's a thing. But regardless of where Ziyech puts his fucking magical crosses, Pulisic just fucking out of control stats,
so
eye tests, main
so
man. Yeah, I think Chelsea's where to put your money. Like, they're what United were last year. Like, they're just underpriced. Their attack's underpriced. And they're going to definitely be the third best attacking team, if not second best. I could see them having better attacking stats than Liverpool next season, because they're going to do is attack. They're not going to just coast for like 20, 30 minutes when they're up 3-0 like Liverpool, you know? So
they're going to concede too. Like, they're going to concede.
So they're going to have to score. So I think Pulisic definitely.
He's so good, man.
He's just so good. We watch the games when he plays and it's like, holy shit. He had 17 returns. He's getting fucking a return every 100 minutes. Like, that's elite level. And he was a little baby boy in the league for the first time. So, you know, the thing with him is the little hamstrings and his little calves and his little tendons and muscles. Non-stop.
He needs a little
baby bitch. He needs to figure out how to work that shit. I don't know.
Yeah, he needs a gallon of milk a day type of, like, bulking shit.
He needs to talk to Bruno.
He needs steroids.
Get that Bruno milk.
Do they even test for steroids in footy? Like, he just needs steroids straight up.
Anabolics.
Just get in there.
Get some A-Rod situations.
Yeah, I mean, Messi fucking human growth hormones is thighs. Like, let's get in there with Pulisic.
Some fucking horse placenta.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you need to do. But yeah, he's great. He's injured for now.
Or some cheese. Get Felix McGath.
There you go. That's
rub
thinking
some cheese
outside
on
the
it.
Fucking ox right there. Love to see that.
All right, Mahrez.
He's very interesting. Another guy that I sort of just haven't wrapped my head around yet. Like, is he the first choice right winger? Probably.
No idea.
Probably, but don't know.
Probably. Maybe, I don't know.
Could be Bill, could be Foden, could be Fernan Torres, could be fucking
Raz, who knows? Ev. Yeah, I think Mahrez is a fine pick. I think it's fine. I think it's fine. I mean, you're not going to want him gimmick one. And, like, Wolves, you're not, like, targeting, I got to get Mahrez in immediately. But I think it's kind of nice to, like,
if you're not going like Raz-Kun or something in those first 10 game weeks where they have rough fixtures, it might be kind of nice to just like Mahrez it up or something like that and just be like, I'm going to get some City points.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like I said, I haven't wrapped my head around it, to be honest.
No, I haven't really thought as much about Mahrez as other players in the game yet, but 8-5 seems okay, and I'm sure we're gonna all own him at least once at some point this year.
Nailed on. He's like an STD, he just spreads.
Oh god.
Okay, forwards. Might as well just start with Kun because we're just talking about City. So yeah, these fixtures are a bit problematic, huh? I guess a lot of people are probably going off him. Especially with the blank.
The blank for sure. But the main thing is the home bankers are where Kun puts up 25 points. You know, like sometimes he does do it, like at Newcastle. You'll see once in a while he pops up with some mad game. He loves playing St. James Park. But the fixtures are not pretty reading for Kun. You know, the tough games that are going to be physical and against like those tough teams aren't the ones normally where he flies, you know?
He had a Hattie away Villa last season. He puts up some big away performances, but it's just not as consistent, I guess.
But against bad teams, and they don't really... Again, I don't know what Leeds are at all, but they have at West Ham, and other than that, they don't have a good away fixture until game week fucking 30 or whatever. I don't know. I mean, dude, they're the Wolves tough. Leicester, we talked about that. Maybe not that tough. Leeds at Leeds, don't know.
Yeah.
Arsenal at West Ham, great. Then at Sheffield United, home Liverpool, at Spurs, home Burnley, right? Like that's just not great.
Yeah. In my head, he's just I don't care that much about the fixtures.
I'm trying to talk.
No, it goes back to a sort of strategic thing of like, what route are you taking? Are you going to be swapping out your premiums in and out based on runs, based on captaincy and that stuff? If yes, then Kun is not
at all
in your team.
Not for a long time.
Not for a while.
Then it's like 10-11 when it's home Burnley, home Fulham. You're like, okay, I'm going to get him and captain for those two games.
Right.
And then it's home West Brom 13, like those three games and those four, like that's when you want him.
Yeah. But then there's plenty of other strategies of, like, do you want to just hold Kuhn because he's value and, like, swap around your 8 million midfield spot and just hold Kuhn, then that's fine too. And
also
and
fine.
He is underpriced, so that's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's both are right.
Yeah.
E. Lee asks, with decent early fixtures for both Spurs and Leicester, do you like Kane or Vardy as a placeholder for the blank with an eye on bringing in Kuhn by 3 or 4? Kuhn or, I guess, sub in, like, anyone if you wanted to, if you're really swapping hard.
I mean, there we could talk for 20 hours and you won't tell me that Kane and Vardy are worth the price over Ings or Jim. Like, I don't have that in my, I don't have time for that. I think
the only way would be captaincy. It's the only way.
Which you're not captaining them. Like, that's where you have Mo and Hobbs, you know?
I could captain Kane home Newcastle, Kane home West Ham.
But like, he's talking, you're talking about jumping off 3, right?
Oh, right.
Because this is the spot for the City.
He said
3 or 4.
Yeah, he said 3 or 4.
Yeah, but this is the spot for the City United guy, so it's like...
Yeah, you're not captain Kane home Everton or away Southampton, no.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm seeing Kane and Vardy in teams. I love to see that. Absolutely love to see that. I think that Ings and Jim are just the same player on better teams, maybe?
Maybe Jim.
I regret that I said that.
damn it, I missed your face when you said it. I can't wait to watch back and see your face on better teams.
not necessarily better, but just the price. Like, I just, it's mil. Like, you know, not, it's just not for me.
But
I
as
think,
a placeholder, those guys don't fill that
but
role.
But dude, but then you're looking at the double swap, right? Like, you got, give me Ings or Jim and Son instead of Kane and Vardy and fucking, like, Willian. Like, I don't know. All those players are fucking shit ass, you know?
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So
I'm fine. I'm totally fine. But I'm fine with either, and you prefer that one a lot. But I'm...
Well, I mean, we're also talking about Kane and Vardy, who are, like...
Your
like,
enemy number one and two.
About?
Yeah. Boner number one and two.
Yeah.
Right there.
I couldn't hate players, like, so much. I hate them both so much.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a bad time to get an unbiased perspective. But, yeah, I think both of those
Every
options are
reasonable. Every perspective I have is biased. Oh, my God.
Sure.
Relax.
The 9-5s, Jesus, no.
Bob, no.
Bob, ridiculous overpriced.
No.
And then yes, Timo, 9-5, has been nailed in both of our teams since day one. So, basically tells you all you need to know there. Chelsea have nice fixtures.
38%.
That's annoying. Is our pod getting too popular? Did we convince people to get on him?
Right. No, I think, you know, even though it's a high ownership, it's going to be a great experience. I'm so excited.
I'm excited for the Timo experience. Yeah. I would like it if Chelsea stopped buying, like, really likable, awesome guys.
We were talking about that.
I prefer hating them.
Yeah, that's why Chilwell saving us.
Yes.
Oh, well, don't forget.
They're buying
I just
Chilwell. Got so happy. Man, that's awesome. Wow, great job by them. Okay, and then there's Martial at 9, Locke 8-5, Ings 8-5, Jim 8-5.
Okay, so before we go to Ings, Jim, so Martial, let's talk about Martial for a few minutes, because we're short anyway, so it's fine.
We're running short.
9, great price, great player.
Great price.
Great pick.
I love it.
Great pick.
Actually, great pick.
It's a great pick.
He's so good.
Last season, and I think, is
he finally
the
floor. Had his breakout season.
I think, and that's a floor, I think, to me.
Yeah, you could sell me on that. It did seem like they got a lot better through the season when Paul got fit and when Bruno came. So that's,
yeah, it seemed like they were better when they had all the good players. So when they start the season with the good players and they have that for 38, then he should be better as well.
He's
good.
So good and gets, like, no respect, I feel like. Like, again, Rash is 9-5. Tony's 9.
Rash is more expensive. It's ridiculous. Like, that's comical to me. Comical.
Sort of offensive.
I'm not offended because nothing that the few people who work for the company make the prices do offends me because it's so wildly inconsistent.
I mean, last year Rashford had the most open play goals or non-penalty goals of his career at 11. Tony just shat out 17 and he's like upside galore.
It's just not close.
Like 20 plus seems pretty likely.
He could do a 25. I mean, he's good enough.
He could do a 25.
What is he, fucking 24 or something? How old is he? 25?
I don't know. Yeah, somewhere around there. But
they bought him when he was 19 or something?
He's another, like, years. Maybe he's underpriced because injury prone, because he is Tony after all. But, like, that one season where he plays 3,200 minutes, like Ings's season last season, he could just score 25.
Oh my god, my windows are all fucking out of sorts.
24.
He's 24 years old.
He could 25 and 10 if he has a magical fit season all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's an elite finisher. We have the numbers to back that. He's been that.
The thing that's annoying about it, that's like plaguing me, is that I'm used to him being like so cheap.
So, I know.
Like, I'm used to him being 8 or 7.5, you know?
I'm used to United being dog shit.
Yeah, and now that he's actually 9 and like playing in the same league as all the other big boys, more reticent to pay it.
I know.
But he's 9, good, very good pick. And very he's good. Just not being, I feel like in the community, you know, us like hardcore players like aren't talking about him enough, and I think he's a really, really good
me
pick.
And late riser connect on Tony, like we have a little Tony finish together.
Oh, well, there
he'll,
you go
he'll just That's at good. He'll just at me in Discord and it's just like a gif of Tony scoring and I'm just like, yeah, what up, love Tony. Yeah, great pick, absolutely great pick. Not in nearly enough teams.
So what do you think about with Bruno's situation? Like, are you thinking like, okay, I could do Tony and be okay without Bruno, or it's just irrespective, doesn't matter, one or the other?
They're both really good.
They're both good. Yeah.
Is Bruno gonna outscore Tony by 1.5 million? That's a Tony's lot. Really, that's a big that's ask. A lot.
Tony's really good, dude.
That's a really big ask. 1.5. I mean, we're talking about, that's the difference between Trent and a 6.0 or fucking, you know, Mo and a 10.5. Like, that 1.5 is a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. So Ings and Jim, right? This is
why we don't need to talk about Locke. Is Locke still looking like leaving?
I don't know. Whatever. He's a piece of shit. This is also why I... Like, Tony, to me, when I look at him compared to Ings and Jim, is just insane that it's like a 0.5 difference, because Ings and Jim are like doing their peak, and
this is
Martial's
peak.
Doing his floor, and they're almost the same price,
right?
And Tony has more to go, right? Like,
right.
It makes Ings and Jim so much less attractive to me.
Yes, I agree. I fully agree.
And... yeah, I still think Jim is good. I think at 8.5
I think both
is
of them are still actually pretty good. Like, both Ings and Jim
don't
are, like reasonable.
Yeah, I don't like Southampton's opening fixtures at
all.
I haven't looked. They have at Palace, home Spurs, at Burnley. Very bad attacking fixtures.
Annoying.
All three
yeah,
of those
kind of
are
annoying.
Very, very bad.
Yeah.
And then home West Brom, like, okay, game week 4, like, we could talk. And then they get a little better. But those first three are really bad for
that
attack.
Palace
so
is not that bad.
For attack, it is. I mean, I don't think we let more than 2 up really all year. You know,
But
we're just parked and tight, you know?
No,
I mean, that's
absolutely
not going to be like...
Systematically, it's going to be difficult. But I think game week 1, we're looking at no PVA, no Gazza, maybe no Tompkins, maybe no Sacco.
Maybe Tompkins. Yeah,
so
maybe
we might be looking at like
Ward,
Kelly, Sacco, Mitchell.
All right.
And I'm like,
maybe
that's really
not
bad.
As bad. Yeah. Maybe that's not as bad of a fixture as it could be in game week 15. But
either way,
I'm just, obviously Martial doesn't play game week 1, so he's gonna get less points than Ings, unless Ings misses a penalty. You know, we could do that, but. But yeah, Ings and Jim, yeah, you know, still okay. Yeah. But Marshall's nine's underpriced. He's just underpriced. He should have probably been 10.
Yeah. I mean, at least 9.5. Yeah.
I think 10 would have been fair for him.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I just tinkered him into my team. It feels really good.
It should have been 10. Jim's good, though. Jim's still good.
They're both really solid and consistent. And it's like, again, for me, it goes back to the strategic thing that you mentioned before. Yeah. It's, what do you feel most comfortable doing? What do you think is the best route? What do you prefer to do? You can hold Jim and be just so positive that you're never going to have to use a transfer on that spot, which you cannot say about Tony, and you probably can't say about Ings either.
No, absolutely. So agree.
That's a strategic
will probably get hurt.
Team shape thing of like whether you want Jim or not. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing too, though, with Wolves is they don't have Europa this year, which is really good for them.
That is really good for them.
What did Jim play? I mean, they were doing the Thursdays.
How many minutes did Jim play last season?
Probably like 5,500.
Actual 5,000.
Yeah.
God, they're going to run him.
He's fit.
He's a very fit boy. Yeah. I'm looking it up. But that's it player-wise. We have some questions. We could just also not do questions.
Oh, well, what do you got?
Let's see what we got.
We're good.
Yeah, we're good on time. Ozzy, what do you think about starting with 0.5 or more in the bank to finance an early aggressive move?
Just finance it with zero in the bank and minus 4 points.
I think it's fine, but like...
I hate it. I fucking hate
it. I personally hate it. But I don't hate it from a strategic standpoint. I hate it because it displeases me.
I hate it from both standpoints. Okay. I don't think it's strategically wise. I don't think you...
I just think the best team is never the 100 million team anyway.
Obviously, fucking Eric Peters is on the dream team of the week. Like, it's okay, but you don't want to be starting Ferguson when you could be starting Vinegar. You know, like, you don't want to be starting...
No, I feel you.
So, I just... Dude, put the fucking... Pick the players who are expensive.
It's a very... weird start to the season with most likely the Manchester team's blanking. And if it allows you some very nice, tidy thing, I don't fucking
like
hate
if you're going to do a move like right after kickoff before the the deadline. Yeah. And that 0.5 is like, okay, like I had Ings and I'm getting Martial, like I'm keeping 0.5 in the bank and I'm doing it before the game start, like, okay, fine. But
yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying, to be honest. Yeah,
but that's a nuts, but okay. But otherwise, in those corner cases, it's just you want to be able to, because then you're also assuming that money gets you an easier way to buy someone who's price rising. But then you're talking about, like, if you have a 7 million midfielder and the guy who's price rising has to be between 7 and 7.5. Like, and if he's 7, you just do it for free. So, like, you have to be in the 0.5 above and do it.
It's a rare case. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Rory, there was some talk in the last pod about guys that are egregiously underpriced, like Werner and Kuhn. You seem like exactly the sort of guys you should be aiming to get early. Martial, Trent.
We really missed him. Honestly.
Apart from the two above and Trent, is there anyone else catching your eye with their underpricing? So, yeah, we mentioned those guys.
I honestly don't know. I totally miss Martial. Like, I didn't really think about him until premium. Like, let me look at
the premiums. Kind of why we do these pods, though, right? Yeah. I mean, it opens our eyes to, like,
guys within the same Newcastle, Chelsea, Arsenal, every game, I'm like, he could score in all these games.
I mean, it was the thing I got most right in the entirety of last season, probably. It was like just going with him from the restart, and he was just so good.
Yeah, I had him at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, when they were bad.
You had him at the restart. Yeah. Together, we're bad.
Yeah, exactly. And for that reason, we're bad. Is there anyone else that, like, immediately caught your eye underpriced?
Well, we talked about Laporte.
That's a good one.
I mean, I'm like so hyper focused on the premium, so I don't know. Like, maybe next pod when we're doing the other ones.
Yeah, we'll kind of just do it as we go, I think, right? Yeah. We talked about like Foden, Greenwood, etc. But,
yeah. No, I think that's it for Eichen.
Hecon Jim said, the general consensus on Reddit/FPL community is to play 3-5-2 or 4-5-1.
Tell me more about Reddit.
Yeah, I know. With a stacked midfield, dirt cheap strikers, do you guys think it's just another big at the back like last year that went out the window?
Dirt cheap strikers is a thing? People are like just going fucking Antonio and Dwight Gale? Is that really what's happening?
I have no idea. Gale Bamford? No idea.
Between Kuhn, Kane, Vardy, Werner,
can we just skip this
Tony,
question?
Ings, and Jim, like those are all, you can have at least three players from that pool for the whole year and get points.
The bottom line for this question is that you and I don't think that there's one single right answer.
Okay.
Right? Those are fine. Whatever. I'm sure there's teams that will start that way and do well. There's also teams that will do other things.
I do have Gale in my current.
Obviously have Gale. Are you kidding?
I do.
I obviously have Gale.
I switched to Gale.
Dude, my team is stacked. Dude, Gale's good. Gale's egregiously underpriced. He should have been like 8-5.
I have good fixtures.
Gale's just good.
I hate how he subs him every game, though.
He's just good. That. He's six, and he just scores regularly. And like, he's just good.
In the first minute, too.
Yeah. Against the fucking champs. Unbelievable. Okay, Jeff D., armed with the fixture list, how do you go about prioritizing which premiums you want to start with and which ones you'll swerve? Can you talk broad strokes about how much things like fixture difficulty, home/away, preseason form, rest, stats, social media... social media presence factor into your decision making? And did we kind of just do that, or is there more to it?
I mean, there are more factors, like some trolley and meme-y, but in general, I think the captaincy plays a big role, to make sure. Like, if Obbs didn't have that second home West Ham when Liverpool are playing Chelsea, I wouldn't have Obbs for sure. There's no way. But like, that's enough of a deciding factor for me to be like, okay, he's going to be the one over Kane, or he's going to be the one over, you know, Vardy or Mane, you know? There are obviously always so many factors, and choosing which one's the most important to you is subjective. You know, there's no correct or incorrect answer to that ever. Other than Vardy's like really bad or Kane sucks. But other than those things, you know, it's about you to distill like the most important things. And
Yeah,
I think we've kind of touched on a lot of that, but
yeah, it's always some weird combo.
Yeah, it's always a weird combo.
Yeah. I almost want Jeff to ask that again for like the Patreon pencils down pod, because then I'll have like more of a firm grasp of like, this is probably similar to what my game week one team will be. And that's when I want to reanalyze like why I'm choosing one over the other or something. For now, it's harder. But
yeah.
And then last question, Henners. For those who want Chelsea and Spurs coverage, would you rather Kane and Ziyech or Werner and Son, both at 18.5?
Well, we have a problem with this question because it has a word that we don't talk about on this podcast. Coverage doesn't exist.
Coverage.
Do you want players that you don't think are better than other players because you're scared? No.
Right.
Not really.
That said, I like a lot of players in this question.
Yeah. No, so, that's fair.
So who do you like between the two, I guess?
Were one of the choices Werner and Ziyech?
No.
That's my answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. That's it for questions. Delete that one.
Cool.
Okay, cool. Yeah, for sure. That's it, bro. I think that's a wrap. Anything else you want to talk about, or should I slap asses?
I mean, the Discord's been great.
Very great. Very happy happy with the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, if you're kind of lonely and you're like us and you just want some new friends, you know, everyone there is always there. All over the world, it's always happening. It's like a chat room.
Yeah, it's like a chat room.
It's great. So if you want to hang out more... It's really expensive. It's like a cup of coffee a month.
Yep.
So join, please.
Great job. Great promo. That said, we got a bunch of new signups. We get so many in the preseason before everyone like deletes their team and lives. But let me go through, slap all the asses. We got Will Quigley, Fatty, Big Boy, Jonathan Hanks, Alan J., James Gildea, Matt Kaminsky, H.J. Chin, Silas Bartlett, Mark Ryder, Sebastian Sui, Fionn McPeak, Henry Kramer, Stephen Rudden, Tom Toesky, Luke Jones. Get the fuck in there. Slap the ass. I think that's it, bro. Any last words?
We didn't talk about more prizes for the prize Fuck. League. I think we should just go 3 mugs for top 3.
That's so insane, but I might be down.
I think we need to open the floodgates and
you want more horizons. Mugs in the wild.
I think people like the mugs.
Like people like the mugs, and we have more people every year, so it's harder to
there
win every
so
year.
There's so many people in that fucking league. Like, I don't understand we've how people never get finished. On the first page.
Yeah, we've never finished even remotely close.
I think if we had top three like that, I think that's fine. I think 3 mugs is fine a month. We do like fucking 9 mugs. Like if we had 25 mugs, 30 mugs, that's reasonable.
Okay, we're doing it. We're doing it.
So prize tier league mug.
Should we do a cheeky, like, different mug for the top three? It says, like, number one, number two, number three or something?
Yes.
I kind of love that.
We are definitely going to do that. So we'll amend them from... I think, can we change it each month so it says the actual month?
Yeah, we could do whatever we want. Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Okay, we're going to get
that's
a
good.
More, yeah, it could be, like, September 2020... Yeah. COVID, like, LOL. Yeah.
Third
whatever.
Place, yeah. Oh, that's
Ron's
great.
Cuck level, silver.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's okay. A good idea. We're doing that. Okay. We're doing it. So it's official.
So this year, top three in the prize league get more custom
mugs. Top three
mugs.
Every month. We do it monthly,
the
so the same
place,
people aren't always winning every fucking, yeah.
Yeah, we reset each month. The first place one, though, I think we should do nothing. I think it should be the original current mug.
Yes.
Second
OG
and third get
mug.
Some. No, yeah. Second and third have some like blemish on it. I think it would
oh,
be
wait,
really
yeah,
funny.
Yeah. Wait, we talked about that, right? Like it was when I did the Twitch emote that was like illegibly bad.
Yeah.
It's like that could be like the mug that's like for the third font, place or something.
The font's like so big.
Yeah.
It's just like two O's or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it's just fucked up mug. It's just totally fucked up. The colors are wrong and stuff.
Okay, so that'll be a good job.
That's good. I like that. Okay. All right, check us out. At fmlfield.com. Follow us on Twitter at fmlfield. Support us at patreon.com/fmlfield. Subscribe, rate, review, turn.